We read in Matthew chapter 21. Let's go back there where we see that amazing but strange deed of Jesus where he curses the fig tree. And we're not going to ask why he did that, but many people would say because it was a kind of prophetic act symbolizing Israel. Israel is the fig tree and they are unfruitful. That's the kind of interpretation that people give to this cursing. But verse 20 of Matthew 21, when the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? They asked. By the way, fig trees can grow up to about 10 metres high, I'm told, so it could have been quite a big tree. Not just a little shrub or a little bush, could have been quite a big tree. And it withered. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So we've been thinking about doubt. We've recognized that doubt is when we have a bat in our faith, a reservation, and often that's as a result of wrong thinking. We're going to think about doubt and prayer today. And I have to say, I find things like verse 21, 22 very difficult, personally. The promises that Jesus makes there, I find them difficult because I feel that I fall so far short when I read Jesus saying things like this, and he says a lot of things like this throughout the Gospels. I sometimes feel like I hardly know how to pray. So what I'm going to try and do this morning is teach you something of what Jesus is saying here, but I'm not saying to you today that I do it myself or that I'm a great example of how to pray. I feel that I fall very short in this. I've been studying this theme in quite a bit of depth over the last few months, and the more I study it, the more I have to say I feel like I've only just dipped my toe into the kind of prayer experience that Jesus is describing. Anyway, he is speaking about believing in our Father in such a way that it helps us to live and face our daily challenges. We're talking about here living in such a way that we trust our Heavenly Father. We often think about faith as something for our salvation. We have to trust in order to know our sins forgiven, and that's absolutely essential. But we can also trust God to deal with life for us and to help us in life. Because this is our God who not only forgives our sins, but he can take us right through life and present us victorious before him at the end. So we are talking here about life, and Jesus is talking about going through life and trusting our Heavenly Father in life. And what he's promising here in verse 21-22 is that we'll receive what we ask for. We have faith. That's what it says in verse 21. If you have faith, we're asking Jesus, or we're asking the Father to do something that we have faith in them to do. We don't doubt. That's what verse 21 says. We have faith and we don't doubt. We don't have any reservations, no hang-ups. But we just trust our Father for the thing we're asking for. We can look at what we're asking God to do, and we can absolutely take our stand in it. And we have no misgivings, no uncertainties, no bats in our faith. And then Jesus says, this is a promise, we will receive. That's what he says. If you have faith and you do not doubt, if you believe, you will receive. That's what Jesus promises. You can't really negotiate these words so that they mean something less than that. If you have faith and you don't doubt, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be cast into the sea. If you believe, you will receive. These are strong promises. These are promises that seem to offer so much to us. And our actual experience of prayer, speaking for myself anyway, falls very far short of experiencing the fullness of these promises. Like recently, I was praying very specifically for three things. One of them was in relation to Ku and the youth worker. One of them was in relation to Glen Elgin and Inverinit and them getting a minister. And one of them was in relation to a family issue. None of them came to pass. They all went in the opposite direction to what I prayed. Now I thought I had faith in these situations. But you might say, well, but they weren't God's will, that what you were asking for wasn't God's will. Well, that may be true. But in terms of what Jesus says in verse 21 and verse 22, another aspect of the diagnosis would be this, that in my faith in prayer, there was doubt. Because Jesus says, if you have faith and you don't doubt, if you believe, you will receive. There was doubt mixed in to my faith. Now, doubt is something that can lurk and be difficult to see. But let me just give you some symptoms of doubt so that you can apply them to your own prayers. Think about this. Here are some things that show that there is doubt in your prayer and in mine when we pray. The first thing is, if we're asking God for things and not receiving them, because that's what it says in verse 22. If you believe, you will receive. But if you're asking for things, you cannot be believing fully for them or the promises you'd receive. If you had faith and you didn't doubt, the mountain would move. So one aspect of doubt is when you're asking and not receiving. Sometimes our doubt shows because we're not even asking. If we believe we will receive whatever we ask for, it says, it's an amazing promise. So why would you not just grab that promise and get praying? Well, one of the reasons would be because you doubt. You doubt. You're a person who doubts God. People who doubt, often they'll talk a lot about prayer and they'll talk a lot about their problems, but they don't actually pray with faith. Here's another symptom of doubt. Not praying with other people. See, Jesus here is using the word you as to a group. He's saying, I tell you all the truth. If you all have faith and don't doubt, not only can you all do, and so on. Verse 22, if you all believe, it's the whole group he's speaking to. So prayer is something that is not just something for us to do on our own, although it is that. But it's something to do with other people. Our Father in heaven, it's our, not my Father, but our Father. It's about praying with people. And another symptom of doubt in our prayers is if we don't get together with others to pray. It could be a sign that we doubt that praying achieves anything. Here's another sign of doubt in your prayer. If your prayer lacks fulsome praise and thanksgiving within it. If in your prayers there isn't lots of praise and thanksgiving, it's a sign that you're doubting. Because you're praying doubting God and doubting that He'll answer. So you don't praise and thank. Another sign of doubt in prayer is when you don't ask specifically. But you ask very generally. Like Jesus' example, Peter was going to deny Jesus, and Jesus didn't say, I prayed, Peter, that God would bless you. He doesn't say that. He says, I prayed that your faith would not fail. It was a very specific prayer, and Peter's faith did not fail. He came back. And so here Jesus is speaking about a very specific thing, a fig tree, a mountain. Specific objects, the mountain to go into the sea. If we don't ask specifically, it may well be a sign of doubt as well. And then there's what I was saying to the children. Often doubt comes out of our wrong thinking about prayer. Like, we feel that if we're going to be trusting, we've got to feel a certain way. If we don't feel the kind of magic way of feeling, then we're not trusting. Then we don't have faith. And if we start thinking that way, then as soon as the feeling goes, we think, oh, we're not believing anymore, and doubt comes in. Or we may be trusting about how we pray. Maybe that we prayed for a long time. Or maybe that we prayed and really argued the matter out with God. Or maybe we were very clever in our prayers. Or maybe we explained things well to God so that he would know what to do, or something like that. And if we have any kind of trust in our prayers like that, and then we don't quite perform as well as we'd like to in our prayers, then that'll introduce doubt too. We don't trust. Like, remember what I was saying with James didn't go to his dad and knew that DJ would do the sum because James was asking in a really clever way that DJ would do the sum. James didn't say, well, I've asked dad with a really long question that he'll do the sum, therefore he's gonna do it for me. Or I felt really good about asking dad when I asked him, so dad'll do the sum. It wasn't like that. He said, he's my dad. I know he helps. I know he loves me. I know he cares. And I'll give him the sum to do. There was no doubt there. And that's why we need to become like little children. So there are lots of symptoms of doubt, and I've just touched on them very briefly. But how do we antidote doubt? How do we deal with it? That's more important, really. How do we deal with it? Well, here's a few things. First of all, simplicity. Listen to this. Prayer is not for experts. It's for children. Prayer is not for experts. It's for children. Prayer is about trust. And children who have great fathers just trust their fathers completely. We need to become like little children and trust our Heavenly Father completely. In Mark's version of this episode, Mark 11, verse 12, Jesus says simply, have faith in God. It's not about faith in our feelings. It's not about faith in our prayers or in our prayer techniques. It's have faith in God. He's your Father through Jesus Christ. So have faith in him. Simplicity. A child trustingly before a father. The second thing is this. Nothing is difficult to God. Nothing. Nothing is difficult. We've got this really weird way that we think that some things are more difficult than others for God to do in prayer. And we may think there are big things to ask, and if we ask a big thing, it's not so likely to happen as a small thing. Well, Jesus doesn't say that here. He says, well, God can wither a tree. You might think that's quite a big thing, but Jesus says, see that mountain over there? Well, God can just pop it into the sea. It's not difficult for him to do that. Nothing is difficult for God. So let me put it like this. When you're praying for someone who's sick, as far as God's concerned, nothing you could pray for a sick person is difficult. Like, if you pray for someone who's sick that God will give them the grace to bear their illness, he can do that. If you pray for someone who's sick that God will give the doctors wisdom to diagnose and treat the illness, he can do that. If you pray for someone who's sick and ask him that the person will get better, he can do that. If you pray for someone who's sick and ask him just to heal them like that without doctors, he can do that. If you pray for someone who's sick and they've died and ask him to raise them from the dead, he can do that. And that is as easy for him to do as to give you grace to bear the illness. It's not difficult. None of it is difficult. It's like the child and the father again. Like, if the child sees a feather fall from a shelf onto the ground and says, Dad, can you put the feather away up back on that shelf? Dad can do it. But if it happens to have been a big encyclopedia that fell off the shelf, well, Dad can do that just as easily. Our Heavenly Father has no difficult things to do. Nothing that we can ask Him is difficult. He can give us the grace to bear the illness. He can give us healing from the illness. We can ask for both. To our Father, nothing is difficult. Nothing. The next thing is this, to dispel doubt, simplicity. Nothing's difficult. God is willing. That's the next thing. God is willing. God is just as willing to do the things that seem difficult to us as the things that seem easy. Just as willing to wither the fig tree for His Son Jesus as to move a mountain for His Son Jesus. God is willing. So, let's say that you're praying to your Father in heaven and you're asking His forgiveness. And you've got two things to ask for. One is a big sin and one is a little sin. And you pray for your Father in heaven to forgive you both sins. Well, what often happens then is we'll go away and think no more of the little sin. But we'll still keep fretting about the big sin. Like, would God really forgive a big sin? It's an awfully big sin. It must be really difficult for God to forgive that. Well, He is willing to forgive whatever we ask. That's what verse 22 says. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask. So big sin or little sin, He's equally willing. He's the one that made the promise here. He didn't have to make it, but He did, because He's willing. And another thing to dispel doubt is it's for anyone, this prayer, for anyone who knows God as Father. So, verse 21, it's interesting the way Jesus puts it in verse 21. It almost sounds like you're the person who's going to wither the fig tree. I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. God works through His people. So it's almost like you wither the fig tree or you move the mountain, because God works through His people. And that you there, well, He's generally announcing it to His disciples in this situation, but also it's there for us as well. It's for anyone who takes their Heavenly Father at His word. And as Mark's version says, it will be done for us. For anyone. So there's four things that are really key to grasp. Simplicity. He's our Father. Nothing's difficult for Him. He is willing. And He's willing to do this for any of His children. And we get very hung up on our doubts. And we miss out on this promise completely. But in Mark's version, Jesus says, we're not to doubt in our hearts, He said. Don't doubt in our hearts. Mark 11, verse 23. And the key realization here is that what Jesus is praying is what He does Himself. We must not forget that Jesus made Himself like us. He came into this world not depending on His own divine glory and power, but depending on the Father. He trusted the Father, just like we have to. And He is the one who's just said to the fig tree that it should wither, that it would never bear fruit again. And how did He do that? He did it by trusting that His Heavenly Father would do what He asks. That's how He did it. The same way that we must see answers to our prayers, by trusting in our Heavenly Father. In other words, we have to have faith in God and not doubt. and God will do it, because that's what happened there in this situation with Jesus. And just in case you doubt that Jesus expects us to do the things that he did, we just sang it in John 14 a minute ago. I tell you the truth, this is John 14 verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now there is a promise that I certainly have not seen fulfilled in my life, sadly. I've just read a couple of great Christian biographies. One that is of a prayer warrior by a guy by the name of Rhys Howells. He was Welsh. Another one I'm not finished yet is of the missionary pioneer C.T. Studd. If you want stimulation and challenge about prayer, there are two great biographies to read. Both written by the same guy. A guy who glories in the name of Norman Grumm. Great biographies. Astonishing stories of people who really seemed to get a grasp of these promises to prayer and didn't doubt. And their Heavenly Father did great things. I'm ashamed to be here today preaching in these things when I think about my own experience of prayer. And the only way I can account for it myself is that many of us have had our trust, our ability to trust, damaged in life. My ability to trust my earthly father was severely damaged, because I couldn't trust my earthly father in anything he said, except when he said, I'm going to the pub. I knew he'd do that, but that was about the only thing I could trust him to do. And that does have an effect, but we've all had that experience, because we've all trusted people and they've let us down. We've all done that. And it makes us find it difficult to trust when those that we really should trust and those that can be trusted, including God, our Father, who can absolutely be trusted. So that we need not doubt at all our Father's willingness, our Father's love, our Father's power. Now, I haven't said anything today about how you know what to ask. That's another subject altogether. But what I am saying is, when you do know what to ask, you can trust and not doubt your Heavenly Father. Absolutely trust him. You're not trusting your prayers. You're not trusting your feelings. You're trusting him. And you're trusting your relationship with him. It's because he is your Father. And in that relationship and in that confidence, these promises become joyful realities in our experience. So God, help us to pray to our Heavenly Father and not doubt. And if we believe, we will receive whatever we ask for, whether it is for our sins to be forgiven or for that mountain in our lives to be cast into the sea. Amen.